This podcast, our review of the new ABC show, The Hustler, talking with Taryn Armstrong today, sponsored by our friends over at Trivia Star. You can download Trivia Star for free today. Get ready to flex your brain muscles. If I was to ask you to name a song by Dolly Parton or Queen, could you answer in under 15 seconds? I think you could. Because if the answer is yes, then you should check out Trivia Star. Trivia Star is a free mobile trivia game with over 60 different categories that you get to choose from. Categories like music, TV, animals, celebrities. You love all those things. If you chose the correct answer for multiple choices and beat the clock, you move on to the next level. Sounds simple, but the questions are going to get harder over time. And if you get stuck, don't worry. You could use coins and gems to get hints and beat the level. If you love trivia like I do, you'll love Trivia Star. Right now, Trivia Star is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. I love trivia games. That's why I love The Hustler. And the good news is nobody's trying to fake you out like on The Hustler. Trivia Star has thousands of five-star reviews in the Apple Store and is the number one trivia game on the App Store. Download it today. To challenge yourself, just go to Apple or the Google Store and search for Trivia Star. Download Trivia Star for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with some special coverage here, talking about a brand new show on ABC known as The Hustler. And very excited because we have our own hustler here with us to talk about it. Here is the great chief correspondent of all things Big Brother, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great. Happy to be talking about The Hustler, not to be confused with The Healer or The Hero.
Yes.
It's very important you get that straight. We're not looking for the hero.
Yes. Okay. We're not looking for the hero. We're looking for the opposite of the hero, the villain here on The Hustler. Of course, that lately, Taryn has been very busy covering Sequester season four every week on Rob Has a Podcast. Taryn, how's all the Sequester going?
It's fun, you know. Brent on the cast of season four.
Another hustler.
Been interesting. The thing about Sequester is that every episode is going to give you something different. And there's been some big high points for sure. So, it's been fun.
Okay. So we're going to talk about this new show on ABC, The Hustler. We're going to talk about all four episodes. Not necessarily a recap, but we really are going to try to see if we could decode the strategy of The Hustler here today. There will be spoilers about the first four episodes, so maybe you want to go ahead and watch a couple of them before you end up listening to the rest of this podcast. That'll work. Or you could hear about the show and then jump in next week. This show airs Thursday night on ABC. I hadn't seen it. I had heard about it, but Taryn reached out and said, hey, want to talk about The Hustler? And I said, I would love to. I've watched all four of the episodes. And Taryn, thank you so much. This was a great idea.
Thanks. Yeah, it's, I mean, first of all, Craig Ferguson, who I love.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, you know, he was the only late night host I ever really watched was Craig Ferguson when I was a kid.
Yeah, he is very good. I never really watched a ton of the Craig Ferguson show, but, you know, I always liked him whenever I saw him on things. And I think he's very fun here as the host of the show.
Yeah, I'm predisposed to liking Craig Ferguson. I have seen some...
But isn't that his superpower likability?
I think so. I mean, like, that's why he was so good as a late night host, is that he's just so charismatic. And, like, his whole thing was that at the start of every interview, he'd rip up the cards and throw them away. And then he'd just, like, have a conversation with somebody as opposed to, like, the very stilted late night conversations you're used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether or not he actually didn't go by ordained questions is another thing. But he's very good at having those, like, I mean, he's a guy who can just have a conversation with anyone at any time. He's so good at it. And I think that's, you know, that can work here as the host of this game show. But I can see how some people might feel like he gets in the way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do think he is trying very hard here. We'll talk about everything. So, The Hustler has been airing on ABC, a brand new, game show, pits five contestants against each other, or basically there is one person who is sort of, I wouldn't necessarily say that they are the mole, because that's what I initially thought coming into the show. The Hustler is working with the other people to get the questions correct. However, at the end of the game, it is down to the Hustler and two other players, and the two other players must correctly deduce who is the Hustler if they want to go home with the money, if the Hustler is able to avoid detection and not be the person the other two players vote for, the Hustler wins the money.
Yes. So, I mean, it very much plays into, you know, Among Us is a game that has been very popular lately. You know, the social strategy elements of the shows that we talk about, it's all about trying to figure out who's lying. There's even like a vote out component where the Hustler eliminates contestants. And then, in my opinion, the best part of each episode is that final, like, yeah, 2 minutes that they have to just be like, no, it's this person.
It's great. It's very, very fun. I don't know if it's a perfect show. I think that there are some flaws, and I'd like to talk them all through with you here today. But it's very fun. I think that the whole show feels very fun. It's sort of set up in what they call, like, a study, which is sort of like a, so almost like a, you know, haunted library / escape room that they have set up. Taryn, have you ever, I don't know if you've ever been there, but have you ever seen the Magic Castle complex in Los Angeles?
I know of it. I don't know that I've seen
it. It's basically, it's like that sort of vibe is what it's at. And it's just the aesthetic of the show. I love everything that they're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I like the sort of where the questions show up. And the aesthetic of the seats, that they're just like sitting and they get dressed up for it. It is very like murder mystery night. You know, Craig really loves his, you know, little shooting tube and, you know, spinning bookcases and grand piano.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like a lot of like fun stuff. If you were going to like do some sort of like murder mystery dinner, this is like the perfect setup. I love just the way that the clues like pop in, sort of like a viewfinder, or sort of like if you had like a slide of just the way the things like pop in. It's just like a very fun feel to the whole show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like there's a very strong vision for what it is, and they're not afraid to just like go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an interesting game, because I don't necessarily know if it's one that we have like the book is out on yet on how to play. And I also don't know, Taryn, if the people who are playing each game, I suspect everybody here in the first season has not seen the other game. So like we might be learning on the fly, but I don't get the sense that the players have seen any sort of the games. Maybe they've played like a practice game, but I don't get the sense that they've seen any sort of like previous episodes.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine so, because, you know, I think at best they would be like in the audience for previous ones, but it just doesn't really make sense that they would have. So, yeah, everyone is playing it for the first time, which is kind of, I think, you know, risky for them, because what they don't want is for people to make the same mistakes over and over again. Yeah. But so far, that doesn't seem to be happening.
Taryn, do you know, was this adapted from like any other country's show? Like, is this a UK show or is this an American original?
I think this is an original, as far as I know.
Yeah. So, okay, very fun. We start off with the five contestants, and in the beginning of the game, we are learning a little bit about each person. However, the Hustler may have a fake background. Have you seen any sort of like interesting uses of people creating fake identities for themselves?
Not necessarily. See, and this is where it would be helpful to know exactly what it's like to come into the game as a Hustler, because it's really only useful to include a fake background if you know what the facts about you are going to be, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's best to obviously just tell the truth about who you are, because then it's much harder to get caught in a lie. But if you don't know what the facts about you, so what this is, before every question, a fact is revealed about the Hustler,
yes,
about their life. And so if you have no idea what those are going to be, then I guess you kind of just have to lie in case they reveal something about you.
So,
but
yeah,
I don't know.
it's interesting because I don't get the sense, like, we don't really get it explained. Like, I wish we had, like, an AMA with I Was the Hustler, and they could tell you, like, the hustler knows the answers to all of the questions. And the way that the show presents it, it's almost like that they're sort of like have like a Slumdog Millionaire setup where here's a fact about this person's life. And then here is a question based off of that fact where it's like, okay, well, that the hustler's favorite snack food is plain yogurt. Like, oh, okay, that's it. Like, who seems like the person? And then it's like a question, like, based on yogurt is was derived from this word, meaning it's like, well, just because you like something doesn't mean you know everything about it. I think they feed the people the answers as opposed to that they would know these things because they know this subject matter.
Yeah, they definitely feed the answers. I think my question would be, do they also let them know what the fact about them is that's going to be revealed?
I think they do, because sometimes they have pictures and stuff like that. So if I've supplied the picture of my billiard room, like, I would know that it's going to be a fact that's going to be revealed.
Yeah, so I, in that case, I mean, I still feel like it's best to stick to the truth as much as possible. Because, you know, I feel like it's not too often that that people will really go based on the facts about the person and being, like, close to, you know, whoever it is. If anything, if the facts are too closely aligned, that will sometimes make people feel like, it's too obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very interesting when we get into, like, you know, how you want to play the game if you are the hustler, because it seems like that, you know, there is no one set strategy so far for all the different players. So they do their introductions, and then they have to start answering questions, and they get a multiple choice question. And together as a group, they have to come up with the correct answer. And every time they get the correct answer, they get $10,000. I think that number goes up later on, like the last question, you could double your money. But the hustler is trying to build the pot, and the players are trying to build the pot. And Taryn, to me, that was the biggest surprise when we came into the show, because I would think on a show like this, I feel like that we're sort of programmed to see the person who is maybe not working with the team trying to get the answer wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of like the mole approach, right?
Yeah.
Where they're trying to sabotage the other players. But this is interesting, as you said, because they are trying to help the team, but not make it seem like they're helping the team as much as possible. And I think that's a really cool way to do it, because, you know, you're trying to essentially lead the group in one particular direction, and the win state is something that you have to just ration it out. Like, I can only help them so much before I need to, like, let them fail, because the money is tied to both people. So you're both working toward one goal right until the end, where it's, you know, you're then pitted against each other.
There are also two eliminations along the way. And Taryn, for me, the eliminations is my biggest problem with the show, where there is, like, a vote, but they tell you this is a fake vote. Everybody is going to write down the name of who they would want to vote out, but only one person's vote is going to count. That is the vote of the hustler. So you could be sitting there minding your own business, and then the hustler decides who goes home. How do you feel about the two eliminations that happen in each game?
I don't mind them too much. I feel like, you know, having three people at the end is the ideal setup.
Yes.
But having them all there to start would probably get a little boring.
Yep.
And I do like that, you know, as you're guessing at home, you know, people are getting eliminated, and maybe the person you thought was the you know, the hustler then gets eliminated, and you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe not. Mm-hmm. So I like how that happens, but I think for me it just takes too long, the whole process, and that my biggest problem with the show, I think, is the pacing. But I don't generally have an issue with the eliminations, mostly because I feel like the people that tend to get eliminated kind of bring it on themselves. I feel like there's a pretty obvious strategy to not be eliminated.
Yes, I agree. But I feel like that once the strategy to not get eliminated becomes common knowledge,
true,
I feel like that the game is broken. aware that the person that gets eliminated tends to be, it's like, oh, if the hustler is feeling like you're onto them, you're eliminated. So now every single person, I feel like, is very much incentivized to never say who they actually think is the hustler in the early going, because you don't want to arouse the suspicion of the hustler and thus be eliminated.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think how it could work is that if you do have a good idea of who the hustler is, if you're good enough to figure it out early on, then it'll be very easy to stay in the game, because you can just start accusing people that aren't the hustler and like keep looking to the hustler and be like, what do you think? Like, are you with me on this? Like, make the hustler feel very safe with you, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that at some point the easy strategy of just like try to make yourself look suspicious, at some point everyone in the game, if they've figured this out, will just be like, well, I might be the hustler. Yeah. I don't know. And that might
right.
be annoying.
Like when Craig asks you, oh, Rob, what do you think? Like, you know, I don't know. It could be Taryn. It could be Brent. It could be Melissa. I don't know. I'm not getting any strong feelings from anybody. It's like, oh, this guy doesn't know what a thing. All right, keep him in the game. I wonder, could we improve the eliminations? I'm not saying that there shouldn't be eliminations, but I'm wondering, rather than just have the hustler pick a person to go out, should there be some sort of like, if you were the person who first said the answer, could you be immune? Could there be some sort of like way to like if I am on the hustler and I'm a good player, like how do I protect myself from being one of those first two eliminations?
What if the hustler has to make a list, like a ranked choice list of who they would like to eliminate?
Yes.
And everyone else is trying to pick who they think the hustler is. And if you get it right, then unbeknownst to you, you're safe and that goes to the next person on the list.
Let's see. So if the audience, like, let's talk this through one more time. So the hustler is ranking the other people 1 to 4 on who they want to send home.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people are ranking who is the hustler.
Yeah, well, they're picking one person who they think is the hustler. And if everyone picks the hustler, then...
Here's the
problem. There's one of the people goes
well, then
home.
The show. The problem is like where if this was Mafia or this is Among Us, it's like, all right, you've picked. Everybody has deduced who is the hustler. The game is over and we have a 10-minute episode. So you can't have where the hustler is going to be potentially voted out. But I just wonder if like, is there a way that at least one person could be immune from like getting like an immunity necklace of being like, all right, in this round, the first person who says the correct answer is going to be immune from the elimination.
I think that's just so hard to gauge, though. Like when they said the correct answer, was it a suggestion or was it this is definitely the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It just feels so unfair to me where like the 3 questions went by and somebody is just out and it's just so arbitrary because the hustler felt like, they gave me the side eye.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's okay now, but I could see it getting frustrating. But I mean, you know, part of it too is luck, I think, to some degree. So, I'm not too bugged by it.
What if they move the elimination back a little bit? Like, it feels like very quick, that first elimination.
It is. It's 3 questions, then an elimination, then 3 questions, an elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And that first one does feel very fast. And, you know, the person that I don't think I remember any of the first people eliminated in any of the episodes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about how to play this game if you are the hustler. Taryn, have you sort of figured out like the right approach if you are the hustler and you know the answers to all these questions, but you don't want to necessarily get people thinking that you are that person?
It's definitely tricky. I don't think there's one set strategy that you can go with for sure, because you have to be very reactive to how other people are doing things. But Something that I've noticed that I think effective hustlers will do is, because this is something that regular players do as well, but eliminating wrong answers.
Yes.
Saying, oh, well, I know it's not this one for whatever reason, because that, you know, if everyone else is just guessing, then, you know, they have a 25% chance to get the answer right. If you eliminate one or even two answers, then you've almost, then you could theoretically double the chances of somebody else coming to the correct conclusion, and then they get the, you know, credit for getting the answer right, while you really, really helped it along.
Yeah, the person that I really noticed starting to do this, I think it might have been the second episode, where the woman who and Tara and I were talking about this before the show, that unless you were writing down with a pen and a paper, very hard to get the names of all of the hustler contestants, that we might have to just go off of describing them. But the woman who was the Olympic long jump person who was the hustler in the second game, she I started to notice she really was like, OK, I know it's not that. I know it's not that. I know it's not that. Really trying to steer, as opposed to just like, I think I feel really good about B.
Exactly. Yeah. And so obviously, I mean, I think with any strategy, you can't do it too often.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just keep repeating the same thing, because then people will start to catch on.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty good way of doing things. You could also wait for somebody to get the answer wrong and then kind of disagree with them and be like, I don't know though, because I heard about this, about that answer. And again, I feel like most of the time people are going to remember the who came up with the correct answer much more so than who eliminated answers from the equation.
Taryn, playing along, how have you done in four episodes and figuring out who the hustler was?
It's actually very interesting. And I think it really plays into the strategy that I would want to use if I played it. But I usually am able to narrow it down to two people.
Can we go through the four episodes and talk about the final three? Okay, let me see if I can. I have this on my. Let me bring this up on maybe my YouTube TV, and I can maybe just scroll to the end. But in the first game, that we got down to three people, and the hustler was the beard guy. There was a beard guy, and then there was another guy, and there was a woman. And right. Yes. How were you feeling in that first episode?
So the first episode, the woman she was the first one to enact the strategy of I'm going to make myself suspicious in the first half,
mm-hmm.
So that I don't get eliminated. And I kind of caught on to that. I was very suspicious of the other guy for a long time in that episode, because he kept just saying things that like didn't have good logic.
Which guy, the hustler?
The non-hustler. I was very suspicious of the non-hustler for a while. And leading up into the final bit, I was like, based on my read of the behavior, I feel like the non-hustler is the hustler. But I was like, based on the edit, I actually kind of feel like it might be beard guy.
Yeah, Tim is the beard guy.
Tim, okay, yes. So
I think the other guy's name starts with a T also.
Okay, that's very confusing.
Yes.
But basically, what happened is in the deliberation, the final deliberation.
His name was?
Oh, it's Beard Guy. I was like, definitely it's Beard Guy, just based on like the way that he was reacting to being accused. He was like, it was night and day. I was like, oh, it's definitely Beard Guy. And then it was Beard Guy. And that's pretty consistent over the episodes, is that I'm usually wrong up until the final deliberation, and then it becomes obvious based on that.
What threw me off on that first episode was that they started showing like Amazon purchases, and then the other guy, Till, was like a music composer, and that I thought that, okay, I could see. I was trying to like figure out like somebody, they said the person was on the keto diet and lost like 55 pounds. I was trying to figure out like, who could have potentially lost that much weight? And I was looking at Till. I didn't think it was Tim.
Yeah. I was looking at Till too. Mm-hmm. And it was especially like, something that I'm learning over the episodes is that I keep finding like these little inconsistencies or these little moments where I think I've caught somebody, and it it never matters. and part of me is feels like, okay, but that's got to be because they're not going to necessarily like give it away. Mm-hmm. If they're editing this, they don't need to cut to a person that in a moment that gives them away. They don't need to include a line that gives them away, because that would kind of ruin the episode. So I'm learning to not necessarily trust those instincts, and much more so focus on who's answering the questions correctly, and then waiting until the final deliberation, and then they tend to reveal themselves there.
So the second game is pretty interesting, because I thought there were two very strong candidates for the Hustler in the second episode. There was Erica, who did turn out to be the Hustler. There was Rachel, and there was the woman with the white hair.
Yes.
Yes.
The woman with the white hair is the person I thought was the Hustler going into... This is the one that tricked me the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Because white hair lady, I'm pretty sure I thought it was her. I was like, it's got to be her. And then what happens in the deliberation is that she takes charge very quickly, and I was like, that's such a Hustler move.
Yeah.
And she asks Erica, who is the Hustler, tell me why it's not you. Because initially they both thought it was her.
Yes. Tiffany. Tiffany, I guess.
Tiffany. Yeah. Right. So Erica then has,
this was wild.
This is a great strategy. Great strategy, because what happened was the very first fact in the episode was that this person is a former Olympic athlete, long jump or whatever it is. And at that point, she could have pulled out her ankle and been like, not me. See, I've got an injury. But instead of doing that, she waited until the very, very end, after the initial suspicions, to be like, well, here's the thing. And she pulls her leg up and she's got a huge scar on her, you know, foot. She's like, I clearly can't be an Olympic athlete because this happened when I was 17, and, you know, so on and so forth. And it's just enough, and there's not enough time to rebound from it, that they were like, they immediately looked at each other and they were like, uh-oh, it must be the other person.
That was wild. It really was. Because the interesting thing about that whole episode was that you went back and forth. Is it Erica or was it Tiffany? Because at no point did anybody think it could be Rachel. Like, how could it be Rachel? It was like, she was like not sus at all.
And that's what happened with me, is that so Tiffany and Rachel start suspecting each other, and they start campaigning to Erica. It's got to be the other one then. It's got to be the other one. And Erica is like, oh, I don't know. And the longer she kept saying, I don't know, I was like, wait a minute. This is not a difficult choice. It's so obviously Tiffany that now I'm starting to get suspicious of Erica. And having played Among Us and played these games before in the past, I know from personal experience, because this is something that I mess up on sometimes, I'm usually a very decisive person in these games. Like, I'll, you know, this is what I think, this is my read. And so when I start to go, I don't know, guys, I'm so confused, it tends to be a tell that I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like right at the end, I was like, oh my God, it's Erica. And they're just, they didn't see it in time. And so she stands up and there, that was it.
This was the one episode I was like the most sure about Erica, that I felt like that I noticed that she was doing a lot of the, I know it's not this one. I know it's not this one. She was the one person that like knew about the black ink for the squid pasta. And then I also thought that when they asked the question about she had a fear of shower curtains. And then there was a psycho question about the what did they use to foley the sound of stabbing in Psycho? And the answer was a melon. And she is like, wait, did they get stabbed in the head? Because I could see that being a melon. And but she knew the answer. But I do not think that she was familiar with the scene in Psycho, because if she was, she would know that is the woman in Psycho did not get stabbed in the head. So bringing up the, did they get stabbed in the head to get the melon, was actually not the right way to go.
I do remember being suspicious of that particular request or that reasoning behind that.
The answer was a melon. And she was like, oh, she must get stabbed in the head because that's how that would make sense. But she doesn't get stabbed in the head. But only a person who only knew the answer but hadn't seen the movie, I thought, would make that argument. And then when she pulled her leg up on the table and said, look at my ankle. And then it completely got Tiffany going. Then she's like, yeah, but how did you get that injury? That is not the type of injury that a poor person gets in their everyday life. Only somebody that is doing like gymnastics might completely shatter their ankle.
Yep. It's also worth noting that Erica is the only hustler to succeed. But she also, their episode, their team got like the least amount of money. I feel like she got like what, 60K total.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big difference from the first game to the second game.
Yeah. The first game they got up to 160, and typically they'll get pretty high up there, into the potential hundreds, but they got a lot of questions wrong. Which means that she was not capable of leading them into the correct answer and getting away with being the hustler, which is definitely something to note.
Yeah. Ideally,
because the other ones have failed.
You want to be the hustler on a panel with really smart people. If you are the hustler and you are on a panel of dum-dums, you really, it's weird. It's almost like you would think like, oh, put me on with the dumbest people possible because I will clean up. Actually, no. They will get all the answers wrong and you will be exposed. You want to be with a bunch of people that are like, can't wait to buzz in.
And that would be one of my main strategic pieces of advice for the hustler is eliminate the people who are getting the questions wrong.
Yes.
You want people that are getting the questions right as much as possible because they're going to help you not only make more money, but also stay more hidden.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, should the question that they ask the group be who is doing the worst? Like almost like a weakest link type vote where then the whole group, the hustler included, is incentivized to vote out the person who is doing the worst. Like, what do you think of that? And the hustler, like you can't vote out the hustler. If you vote for the hustler, the person that got the second highest total is going to be voted out.
I could see that. And like, you're not allowed to discuss your vote so that they can't cross, reference. I could see that working.
Because I do worry about sort of like the evolution of the gameplay being like, nobody says anything in the beginning or like everybody is just trying to act super coy in the start of the game. And I think it's going to be potentially like everybody's going to be tight and either only trying to make everybody suspicious and not saying anything about who they think is going to be the hustler, which is what's fun for the audience.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that could work because obviously, it means that the hustler has this additional thing that they need to do, which is, I mean, the thing is though, I do think the hustler has a bit of a tough job, at least based on what we've seen. So we don't want to make it too much more difficult for the hustler too, that the hustler is always going to lose.
No, make it hard for the hustler. Yeah.
They do win twice as much.
Right, right. I mean, they're the hustler. They're supposed to be this person who's able to do it, going against these people that are just like everyday people coming off the street.
Yeah.
You're so great, hustler.
I do think it's worth noting, this is a show, probably unlike other shows, where I think it's actually probably easier for the contestants to figure out who the hustler is than the audience. Because, first of all, if you're a contestant, then you automatically get to eliminate yourself as an option for the hustlers. You already have fewer options to choose from. And then, additionally, I think the most important bits of information come from when the trivia questions are asked. And, on the show, we're getting that, cut down quickly.
Yeah.
And when you're there present, you can kind of, keep mental notes of exactly what each person said and what they, and all of that. Whereas on the show, it kind of goes too fast to really keep a lot of mental notes.
Let's talk about the third game. I thought this was the wildest one, where we have our final three of Ben, Ulysses, and Sue. And the hustler has a wild life. The hustler has worked for the CIA in China, spends 1 month a year in an amusement park, has a custom-built billiards room, went out shopping for shoes one time and came home with a Porsche, went on consecutive vacations to see which suitor they wanted to be with. They had some wild stuff, 30 tiki heads.
Yeah, yeah. And this was definitely an interesting one. This is another one where this one was like the one that really nailed it in the coffin for me, that like I can't keep trying to read these people because I don't know these people, because I spent most of the game thinking it was either what was the guy's name?
You, Ben, the Stephen King guy? Looking guy.
Ben.
Yeah.
I thought it was either him or the woman.
Yeah.
And what was her name again?
Sue.
Sue. It was either Ben or Sue. I thought for sure it was either Ben or Sue, but I was leaning Ben because he was just so off.
He's very shady in the beginning of the
game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just like, there's something off about him. Like, there, like it's got to be him. It, you know, it could definitely fit him. It could also fit her, but I was leaning him. And then at the end of it, I was like, oh, he's just a weirdo.
He's weird. Oh. He's a weird guy. Yeah. He's a weird guy. Do you agree with my take that he was like Stephen King's body double?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So there's always one person seemingly that everybody's like, it's not them. It's not them. Yeah. In this case, you had Ulysses, who I feel like just was not old enough to have done all of the exactly. things that the Hustler had done in this game. And so it came down to Ben versus Sue, and Sue, like, I think she was good in the beginning, but then again, she started to really, like, catch fire with answering the questions in the second half. Yeah.
She got overconfident, I think. And this is, I think, another strategy that you could use, which is if you feel like you know who the Hustler is, at least, where Ulysses was like, it's Ben. I'm so locked in on Ben. Every time Craig asked him, he said, I think it's Ben, which helped Ulysses stay in the game. And it got Sue feeling so confident that, like, oh, now I can rack up some money because Ulysses and I are on the same page. And then she just kept going. And then Ben was able to flip it around on her right at the last second.
Yeah, in a weird way. So Ulysses was actually, I thought, a bad player in that he was a real blurter. Like when he knew the answer, he'd be like, okay, I got it, you know, and then just like blurting out the answers, which sort of like, I guess maybe helps like eliminate him of being wrongfully accused as the Hustler. But I kind of feel like that when you get no information from the Hustler, then when you know the right answer, great, you won $10,000. But then the Hustler's like, okay, sure, let's go with that. The Hustler didn't have to do anything. It was easy money.
That's true. But I think to counter that, I would say if I'm not the Hustler, I want to, like, if I know the answer, I want to push the right answer because I feel like that will make me potentially more suspicious to the other players, which makes it less likely that they're going to eliminate me, the Hustler. And it also makes me more valuable to the Hustler because I'm getting questions right and I'm helping them stay hidden. And by the time I get to the end, I'm only choosing between two people. So I don't need a lot of information about,
sure,
you know, what the Hustler is doing.
Maybe it's okay to be a blurter in the beginning and making sure you don't go on down the wrong path. But I know, like, when I know the answer to the question, I'm always looking for the person who is trying to steer it to that right answer when I know it is. And if I didn't know the right answer, then I sort of forget who said it first or who's eliminating wrong choices. But I feel like that's always like a big tell.
I think as soon as you hit the seventh question, as soon as the second person has been eliminated, shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shut up and observe.
Yeah.
And that's the way to go.
Because the Hustler is going to like slow play it always. And then it's like, all right, Craig Ferguson's like, all right, I need an answer. 3 seconds. Like, how about,
I guess this one then?
Volkswagen. Let's just go with that. Like, okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah, And the thing, too, is that, like, sometimes if you put the Hustler in too much of a spotlight, then they'll just start getting them wrong. So, it's like, sometimes if you already feel like you have a good idea of who the Hustler is, it might be worth it to give them some cover so that they'll give you the right answer.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, all right. So this got really wild at the end of this game. So Ben and Sue and Ulysses are there. And then Ben thinks it's Sue, Ulysses thinks it's Ben, and Sue is saying that it's Ben. And so they give everybody time to talk, and then Ben comes out of nowhere and is like, Can't you see? The Hustler went on back-to-back dates to, I forget where it was, like, do you remember where it was?
I don't know. Oh, two different countries. Yeah.
Went to back-to-back, like, European vacations to figure out who they were going to date. Only a woman would do that!
Only a woman! A
I'm telling you, only a chick would do this! And then Craig Ferguson, he's like, all right, Ben, you're making me uncomfortable. Could you stop saying that, please? He's like, only a chick would do that! A dude would never do that! Only a chick! Only a chick would do it! Like, dude, have you ever seen The Bachelor?
Yeah, I'm just imagining this weirdo sitting through the whole game thinking it's Ulysses. And then this question comes up and he's like, only a chick would do that. And then he's just waiting to give that reasoning because that's his trump card.
That was wild. That was wild. That he was like all in on, and he turned out he was right. He was right. But I don't think that like the work that he had to do to get there was necessarily correct.
That's why they make you show your work in math class.
Yeah. And this might be sexist on me, but I felt like that when the clue was they went out to buy shoes and came home with a Porsche, that I did feel like that was much more pointing to that it was going to be the woman as opposed to either of the guys on the panel. Because one, Ben doesn't strike me as a guy who's like, oh, I'm going out shoe shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Knowing what we know now about him, at least, but like at the time, I thought this guy could be lying about who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could be, you know.
But he didn't strike me as like a weirdo. Fashion plate that was going out to go buy shoes and came home with a Porsche.
I mean, if I know that like my facts are going to be all about like how rich I am and like all of the shoes I'm buying, then I'm probably going to dress down for the show, right?
Yeah. Maybe, perhaps. So, like, I felt like that was pointing to her. She seemed like she was an interesting lady, Sue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you could tell, like, this was another one where you could fully tell that she was guilty because, like, she'd literally be smiling. But it's not me. she was not nearly as upset as she should have
been. She was like laughing a lot when he was like, only a chick would do. And she was like laughing. And like, I do feel like that she was trying to be like, she's like, that's crazy. Why would I be the Hustler? Like, plenty of guys
kept
do that.
Repeating it. Like, he just wouldn't. And then even after they got it right, he was like, I knew it. I knew that only a chick would do that.
Only a chick. I told you.
Like, this is some deep-seated trauma that he's experienced in his life.
Yeah. Do you like the segment they do at the end of the show where it's like the confessionals of like talking about things?
I do. I like it's a little bit of closure. I like it.
Yeah, that was good. I feel like that I wish that was longer. I want to hear like a little bit more of like I almost want to hear a little bit like more about the 10 things of like, you know, where we had in the previous episode with Erica, like, we didn't really even get into, like, what her injury was from.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Like, what exactly did they lie about? And how do all these things connect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more time there. Because God knows, like, we really do, you know, milk the time on some of it. Like, you know, I could use maybe one less shot of, like, Craig Ferguson dusting a painting and spend some more time. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was the thing, right? I think the pacing of the show needs to be worked on because I think what's really cool about the show is that it kind of has something for a lot of different people who like these kinds of shows. There's the trivia aspect. There's the social strategy aspect. There's the, you know, lying, trying to figure out who's lying. There's the sort of like decision making that you need to do. And then there's just like the overall campiness of it. Like there's just like a lot that a lot of different people can come in and I think they can pick apart which piece they really like if they only like one piece of it. But I think it just takes too long to get to the meat of things sometimes. Like some of the jokes they're too repetitive. Like when Craig Ferguson is bringing the eliminated player to the spinny.
Yeah.
Like, this is just taking too long and it's the same thing every time. And like, I get that Craig loves the pipes thing and how cool it is, but you know, we don't need to make a big deal of it every single time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I do feel like that, even in four episodes, I feel like a lot of Craig Ferguson's lines are a little canned of like, where they get the question wrong. You know, immediately he's going to say, oh, very interesting, because the hustler knows the right answer. They let that money slip through their fingers. Interesting. So, like, he interrogates the contestants, and it does go on a little long. It's not a major complaint.
I think it's more a problem of editing than it is of Craig, because, you know, he's just going to do his thing up there, and it's up to the editors to figure out like how much of it they should be including, I think. But yeah, could be a little snappier.
A little bit. Last night's episode, we got to our final three of Richard, Katie, and Amanda. The hustler here found religion on a drive through the desert, owned a shotgun, plays in four fantasy football leagues. What else?
Thinks the government is not telling us everything about aliens.
That's true. That's true.
Which was really funny because when Craig asked around, like, who believes in aliens, and Katie was like, nah, I don't believe in aliens. I was like, it's weird. That was a weird response. Like, I just didn't expect her to not believe in aliens. She just doesn't seem like the kind of person to not believe in aliens. And then, yeah.
Cigar aficionado.
Yeah. It was a very strange set of characteristics for this one.
So, all right. So we got down to Richard, Katie, and Amanda. I think Amanda was the person in this game. Nobody thought it was Amanda. Not one person at home.
Yeah, she was the one who was like trying to make it seem like it was her in the first half. And then, you know, and that's the thing. If you are not the hustler, great strategy to try to make it seem like it's you, at least right now when nobody knows about it. Because I don't think anyone has ever suspected the person who intentionally tried to make it seem like it was them at the end. So it's very effective in not getting you eliminated. And then it doesn't even hurt you at the end, it seems. Yeah. So.
How about the first guy who got eliminated where he had like a reveal? He's like, what I didn't tell you is that I'm a jury profiler and I kept that information to myself. And I could tell you that the hustler is, in fact, Amanda.
Exactly. Yeah. These people always make fools of themselves on their way out. They're like, well, clearly I was eliminated because I'm on to a person that's not the hustler.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I just don't think it's really that possible to get a good enough read on people that you just met based on like a couple of interactions. It's really like it's so much more telling at the end of the game when they're actually having to actively lie and stuff like that. So
it's like the first round of a mafia game. You have nothing to go off of. It's like, exactly. All right, let's vote somebody out. Like, all right, well, we got nothing.
So this one was interesting because, I really feel like Katie messed up at the end.
She did.
Because this is the first time we've seen this. How the final round works is that Craig initially asks them for their initial suspicion and they put the name in front of them. And every time until this one, it's been two people think it's one person and that one person thinks it's one of the two people. But this one was a round robin of, you know, Richard thought it was Amanda. Amanda thought it was Katie, and Katie thought it was Richard. And that's a mistake, I think, on the hustler's part, because when Amanda thinks it's Katie and Katie thinks it's Richard, that means that Katie needs to convince Amanda, the person who suspects her the most, that it's Richard, the person who suspects her the least. And she's already fighting a losing battle. The second she sees Richard is on Amanda, I think she has to switch to Amanda.
That's interesting. She also made a big blunder in the final question of that it was which NFL quarterback has made the most money over their lifetime in their career. And I was stunned to find out that that was Eli Manning. It was a sickening feeling to find out that Eli Manning has made the most money out of any NFL quarterback in his being paid from a team. And she, like, at the, like, they were not on Eli Manning, And then she was like, oh, I feel like I heard my dad say Eli Manning. I think it's Eli. And that was very sus in the like final thinking it through. Like, yeah, she did. She did really steer us to Eli Manning on that last question.
Yeah, I think you really have to be willing to let it go on the final question, even though you lose a ton of money. If it's going to make it so obvious that it's you, you might have to let it go. But I still think that she could have had a chance to get back from there. I feel like another mistake that people make in that final deliberation is that like she was like planning in her head throughout the whole game. I think I'm going to blame it on Richard. And so she had all of these like reasons why it's Richard. But again, Richard didn't think it was her. Amanda thought it was her. And so by having all these pre-planned thoughts about like, well, it's Richard because he fits this and he fits this. It was like it seemed rehearsed and it didn't match the conversation they were having. And Richard and Amanda were able to like have an actual unrehearsed conversation about like Katie, right? Mm-hmm. And she couldn't create enough on the fly to really rebound from it. So,
So we've seen one win and three losses for the Hustler. I mean, should we be looking at what Erica did and sort of like that last second pivot that she made to show her ankle? Was that sort of like, are we going to be looking maybe a couple of weeks from now and saying like, boy, like Erica was maybe the only Hustler that was able to pull this off?
It's possible, yeah. I mean, I think that especially, again, if you know what the facts about you are going to be ahead of time, then, really just like think about what is at least one of these that I can really convincingly refute in the very end of this game to just kind of like get it off of me quick if I need to, because it doesn't need to be foolproof. It just needs to give you enough momentum to get into the position in the end, right? Like no matter who you are, no matter what your role is in the final three, The goal is to be the person who has the other two trying to convince you. That's what you want if you're the Hustler. That's what you want if you're not the Hustler, because that means that you have the option to choose whichever one you want. If you find yourself in the position of having to convince somebody else, then you might be convincing the Hustler. You might be convincing a non-Hustler. You can't really know for sure, and you don't have control over where that's going to go. And if you're the Hustler, obviously it puts you in the best spot to be the one being convinced. So it's all about controlling that final conversation and making sure that you put the other people on guard, make them insecure about their position, and force them to come to you.
All right, we'll be back to take some of your feedback questions talking about The Hustler with Taryn, but let me take a moment to thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at IPVanish back on the show. What is IPVanish? IPVanish, that's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. VPN is a super important tool that could help you safely browse the internet. Use a VPN on your computer, your tablet, phone, even things like a Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. So what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing is all encrypted. That's important because whatever you're doing on the internet, it's none of my business and it's no one else's business either. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. And IPVanish is just $3.49 a month. For just $3.49 a month, $27.99 a year, you can help protect your online privacy and security. Here's everything you get with IPVanish, an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anybody on the web. And they have more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IPVanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. And 24/7 support, email them, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help. If you remember, they supported the show a couple of weeks ago. They've come back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something special for the new year. You're getting 65% off now. So go to ipvanish.com/Rob to claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. This is the best time to sign up. And with our discount and their current promotion, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best of the best. Even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love. They're repeat sponsors. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/Rob to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. Let's get back to talking with Taryn about The Hustler. I was looking at the ratings to see how The Hustler is doing. Don't know if it's really running away with anything. I think it was number one in its time slot last night in the 18 to 49 rating, but the TV ratings are also depressed. It was a 0.5 rating, which translated to 2.7 million viewers. It is in a lousy time slot, 10 p.m. on Thursday nights.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's not terrible for what it is. It seems like one of those shows that's, you know, it's going to be on for a season and then
never see it
disappear
again.
And someday we're going to be like, remember Who Done It? Remember The Hustler?
Any other thoughts about the first four episodes? Then I have some questions from the listeners.
You know, it's been really interesting. I enjoy, again, I feel like, you know, that final section of the show is by far the most entertaining and interesting because they really are like letting loose.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if we could pick up the pace in the early portion of the show, kind of expand that final bit, that
we
would
play
be better.
Two games
in one episode.
Yeah.
It's definitely possible. I think one thing that I'd be concerned about with this show is the risk of it getting too repetitive. Because I could definitely see that. I could easily see myself after eight episodes being like, I got it. You know, I don't know if I need to keep going. Like there needs to be something that brings you back every time. And because it's a new cast of characters every time, it's not the characters. I'd be a little worried about like overexposing the game.
Okay.
I think.
How about this? Can we play it with celebrities?
Yes, I think that could work. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that might be a little bit more fun where that although the facts about The Hustler, I think would probably be like a little bit more of like, oh, okay, well, I actually know this person is a black belt. So that makes it, but I feel like that might at least like where, you know, like it was like a celebrity poker roundtable or something like that. You could have a, you know, like a little bit more of like a fun conversation too along the way.
There's a show I really, really like in the UK called Would I Lie to You? And it's a panel show, and it has two team captains that are there every episode, and they're both hilarious. And then two members of each team that are added to, so it's three people per team. And they're basically celebrities, comedians, personalities, and they read out facts about themselves or stories about themselves. And then it's up to everyone else to figure out, are they lying? And they can be obscure enough that like, you know, you don't know, even though it's a famous person, like they're telling a story about like, my trash man accidentally picked up, you know, one of my kids once, you know, like something random that like, not necessarily anyone would know. So I feel like you could still have like more obscure facts, to read out if you wanted to with celebrities.
Tarrant. Tyler Longo wants to know, will The Hustler ever let a team answer the last question incorrectly? Will we see that at all in this first season?
So that's one thing I thought about. If you're The Hustler, is it a viable strategy to push really hard, make sure you get like every question right, and then just push really hard to get the last one wrong? You'll make like $45,000 if you do that, as long as you get away with it. And it's a really good last minute argument to be like, I mean, I was doing pretty well, I guess, before, but I really messed up that last one. And who would do that is The Hustler. And, you know, coming away with 45K is not too shabby, you know, based on, you know, the amounts that you possibly make as The Hustler. But I just don't think it's worth it personally. I don't think it's really difficult to find a scenario where it's worth it to get that question wrong unless it just definitely outs you as the hustler.
It's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that as we go through. Jacob has a question on YouTube. We can take questions live here. I've been able to figure out The Hustler every time the host asks the player, are you The Hustler? Or if they say no firmly, they are. If they play the question like maybe, it's never them.
Well, so far, yeah. Again, the people that have intentionally tried to make it seem like it might be them, I think there's been like three of them so far. you know, it's a pretty effective strategy so far of getting deep in the game. And then people don't tend to suspect them later on. But I think the difficulty with that line of reasoning applied to everyone is that most people say no. So how do you figure out which of the people that said no is the one? Mm-hmm. And also it opens the door for the hustler to say, maybe, and then trick people who think that they've got something.
Taryn, one of my pet peeves is when there is like an obvious like Jordan Kalish joke answer for D, and then somebody is like, are we sure it's not blah blah blah, like we have 40 seconds here.
Yeah,
you're not funny.
Yeah, and that's something too, the time limit. Like, I wish I could see how much time they had to answer the question sometimes. I feel like they probably don't have it in there because they edit it and they don't want the choppy timer. But I think it would be more interesting to see the clock counting down.
It's a very soft timer because that they could get to, like Craig Ferguson's like, all right, time is up. And then they could go on for another, what do you think? Do you think, should we go with that? Should we go with that? Like, they're really like, are able to still like stretch it out a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Randy Neupel, the Noop, whose opinion I value immensely, said, as I have tweeted multiple times, the worst part of this show is Craig Ferguson. Other than that, I enjoy it.
Terrible opinion.
Terrible opinion from the Noop. Doesn't want, he would draft him last in the late night TV draft competition.
Nah, that's not it.
He says, I don't connect with his shtick. It seems goofy, and some of his comedic choices seem off tone from the show. I do think that like when they just like cut to him like playing with like the little odds and ends, like I don't care for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and but I mean again, I feel like that is personally, I feel like that's more on the edit than it is on Craigie Ferg.
Is that his
nickname?
He's
going to be him. Yeah. You know?
Do you think that those were just sort of like cutaway shots? He's not actually doing those things. Like as like they just have like a, like 2 hours of B-roll of him like drinking out of the snake cup, rolling around on the floor, dusting the painting.
I mean, that's just his thing. Like he, you know, he's used to being the only person on the screen, right? And he's used to just having to be entertaining all the time. And so he's just trying to be entertaining. And the editors need to know when to show some restraint.
Mm-hmm. Could we do anything better with eliminating the contestants? Because he makes it like they're going to go be executed or something like that. He's like, okay, just stand by this book. This isn't going to hurt. Like, and then like the bookcase opens and they just walk out.
They should definitely have some kind of trapdoor on the chair, or like a slide, like have the chair slide back into the wall.
Yeah.
Or something, something better than, oh no, the bookcase.
Yeah. There was a very old game show on MTV called Remote Control where they had like three people and they were in sort of like an easy chair. And like, that's like the chair would like go back into the wall or like flip backwards. And then that's how they got people off of the show for the elimination. Yeah. I wonder if they could do something like, you know, something like that, or like put them in the tube that sucks them out.
Yeah.
Might blow the budget on the visual effects for something like that, but yeah, it just seems like it's neither here nor there. It's like they're sort of like being like escorted away, but they're just sort of really just walking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, I feel like it, like we spend just a little too much time on it each episode. I'm like, let's get to the questions again.
Corey B also says Craig Ferguson is the worst. Probably a hot take. I can't stand him. I probably won't even watch this knowing that he hosts.
Ouch.
Yeah. Nick Fishman says, how good would Giles the Butler be as the host of this show?
I do think that would be like a better fit in terms of like what is required for the show.
Perhaps, but Craigie Ferg is a master improviser. Yes. Giles the Butler, I think, was working off of a script in Whodunit. So while that tonally, maybe Giles the Butler played a little bit better, Craigie Ferg, I think, is able to roll with the punches a lot better.
Very true. And yeah, again, that's the thing. Like he can, and he says this, and I really like this about the show. He doesn't know who it is. they keep him in the dark too. And I think that's exactly how it should be. And so like, he's just kind of playing along with them and just, you know, jumping into conversations, making sure that, you know, everything goes smoothly. I do feel like, you know, I feel like he could encourage more serious investigation at times.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the game would be different if there was somebody who was less of a jokey host?
I think it would be. I think tonally it would feel different, and I'm not sure that it would be better, but I think the best parts of the show, at least for me, are when people are like taking it seriously and like really feeling like heated about it.
Yeah.
And you know, Craig is there to kind of lighten the mood a lot, mm-hmm. which can kind of deflate some of that.
Do you have a person in mind who would be your perfect host?
Oh man. I don't know.
Maybe it should be you.
Yeah. There you go.
You would treat it very seriously.
Yes. Rob.
Yes.
Who do you think the hustler is?
I think it's Brent.
Okay. Brent, how do you feel about that?
What? How could you say that? You're going to get rid of me? Do you know how good television I am?
Do you understand why people are watching right now? Because of me.
Yeah. Like, all right, sorry. I guess he's not the hustler. So, all right. Tara, anything else about the hustler in general?
No, it's been fun. It was, it's fun to like, I love, you know, looking at, new games,
yes,
that involve all these familiar elements that we're used to with Survivor and Big Brother. Expressed in a different way. And, you know, part of what I really enjoy about that is that you can be an expert on Big Brother, an expert on Survivor. You can be a really great Big Brother or Survivor player, go on to the Hustler and be terrible, because even though it's very similar elements, the specifics are different, and that means different strategies, different techniques, and that means more to learn, which is very fun.
Yeah. I saw a couple different versions of, could we play the Hustler? Is there any way, do you think we could play like a home game?
I think we could. I don't think it would be very difficult to set up. Mm-hmm. We don't need an elaborate, you know, room with chairs. We can just have a Zoom call with five or six people, if there's a host, mm-hmm. so, you know, somebody just needs to set up questions and prep the hustler, and it wouldn't be too hard.
Okay, would you want to be the host or would you want to be a player?
I don't know. I think I'd probably be down to do either.
Okay. All right. So if we could get you committed here today, like if we have a, you know, aspiring hustler question writer that wants to work with me on this. Okay. So what if I'll be Craig Ferguson.
Okay.
Then what if we had like, that, you know, could we do it with the LFC?
Oh, we certainly could.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's see if people want this idea. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That would be great. That'd be a fun idea to try to pull off. I watched another game show this week, a new game show. I watched Name That Tune.
Okay.
I loved it.
Is it, you hear a song and you need to name it?
Yeah. So, I mean, Name That Tune is an old game show, but they brought it back, and it's hosted by Jane Krakowski of 30 Rock fame, one of Melissa Denny's favorites. And she's the host, Randy Jackson of American Idol fame, that he is like the band leader. And it's like, as opposed to this, it moves very quick through the hour. It's like they blow through two games of Name That Tune very quick. And they just like that round one is the band plays a song, you buzz in and then say what the name of the song is. And it's fun. It's like then, you know, the band is like, it's a live band. It's not like that they're just playing like a track. It's, you know, a lot of energy. Then round two, bit a note, is they give you a clue and then they go back and forth. I can name that tune in eight notes. Like, all right, I can name it in seven. I can name that tune in six. Oh, okay. Name that tune. And then Randy Jackson's at the piano and he plays like the first like six notes of the song. And then if you know it, you know it.
Do you need to know the name of the song?
You need to know the name of the song. You don't need to know the artist. You need to know the name of the song.
What if you could? What if you could sing the song, but you have no idea what it's called?
That's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, I'd be terrible at this game.
Yes, yes. Actually, the guy that, and it's actually like no fun. Like there was one guy, he was so good, and he was like, I can name that in one note. I can name it one note. And it's like no fun to like, you know, you want to like be able to play along a little bit more. But that this guy got to the bonus round, and he said the song's title was Beautiful by James Blunt, and it's You're Beautiful. And like he would have won the whole show.
He was I knew that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, Jane Krakowski also allegedly, there's a story that she dates the MyPillow guy, but now she says she came out and says she doesn't date the MyPillow guy. I don't know where that comes from. If the MyPillow guy is also the
pillow, is it Rob?
I don't know. I don't know. Not Jane Krakowski, but yeah, it was, it's really fun show. I love Name That Tune.
Well,
in the DVR.
Check it out.
Yeah, so many. I mean, most of TV is game shows right now.
Well, I can imagine. You know that they need, you know, easy stuff to. You know what? I'm very surprised that there's like a studio audience for this show.
Is there a studio audience? There's a studio audience for Name That Tune, which I was like, what? How are they doing this? And again, I don't know if this is a reliable source or not, but Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6 told me on Twitter that they filmed Name That Tune in Australia, but they weren't Australian people on the show. But that I definitely heard like there was crowd noise, but I wasn't sure if it was maybe the sort of like a canned laugh track.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be a laugh track, but even still, it's one part of the show that I think removing the laugh track actually more so than changing the tone of Craig Ferguson would, I think, help the show in terms of like the tone.
It's an interesting note of I like Craigie Ferg, that is the show because it's like, hey, it's Craig Ferguson, fun late night host. Like, are they trying to inject more sort of like camp and humor into the show, or maybe it should be a little bit more serious?
I mean, I think camp is good. I think that like it should be campy, but like when Whodunit was campy, it was because it was taking itself seriously in a way that it knew it was goofy, but it wasn't, you know, it was self-aware, but it wasn't like trying to be like ironic about it, right? Like it was very like wink to the camera, but we're taking this seriously. And I feel like that same tone could definitely be used here. And you know what? It feels like there's an audience based on like how the contestants act. They kind of, there's like, they don't feel all the way comfortable most of the time to me. It feels like they are feeling like they're putting on a little bit of a performance sometimes. So it kind of feels like there's an audience there.
Yeah. I think that Craig Ferguson does do a good job as the host of the show. My only complaint is when he is like sometimes literally chewing on the scenery, where it's just like, all right, Craig, like pay attention. Like there was
one time in the fourth episode where he was like, oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What just happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, did you watch I forget exactly what it was called, the Will Arnett Lego competition. Did you watch any of that?
I don't think I did, no.
It's weird. Like, Will Arnett was, like, the same way, and he was fun. Like, somebody have a funny host, but, like, sort of, like, their gimmick is, like, I don't really want to be here. Like, is this still going on? And so,
sometimes
you get, like, a big-time celebrity, but they're sort of, like, that their bit is that they don't really care about the show.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that I do think this show has a good format. Like there's some good stuff here, and I don't think it needs Craig Ferguson to be Craig Ferguson in order to stand out. And like sometimes you do just kind of need to get out of the way for to let the good stuff happen.
Yeah. All right, Taryn, you watching anything else that's fun?
I mean, plenty of things, nothing unscripted, I don't think, other than the challenge. The challenge has been all right.
Well, what are you watching that is scripted?
Well, The Expanse season 5 has been running. That has been very, very good.
Expansive.
You know what is a very good show? It's in its second season now. It's a show called Staged. It's David Tennant and Michael Sheen.
Okay.
And they did it during quarantine. And it's just them on like a Zoom call and on various Zoom calls. That's the entire show.
Really? Because I feel like a lot of shows have tried this, and I feel like I have not heard anybody say that it has worked yet. So this is good.
It's very good. They're very funny. They were just playing themselves, and this second season is now like a meta take on the first season. And it's definitely still working. And the episodes are only like 15 minutes each. It's not a big commitment at all.
Mm-hmm. Can somebody write a show where we're on Zoom calls?
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah. No, like us, like just like somebody come in with like a script of like us just being on Zoom calls. I feel like that would be great.
Well, I think what you would do is you'd have like a general outline for the mm-hmm. story, and then we'd kind of like wing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, we'd put ourselves in a situation like the sort of the plot line for the first season is that they're still trying to rehearse for a play via Zoom. We don't get a lot of the rehearsal, but like that's the sort of staged part of it. Like that's the story. And then the rest of it is just them just kind of like goofing off and not goofing off, but like having conversations and, you know, getting into arguments.
Okay. And this is on Hulu.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I just started WandaVision.
Yeah. How's that? Can I jump into WandaVision if I'm not a big MCU person? Would I get it?
You know, I can't answer that question yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched the third episode yet. It's been it's taking its time to get to where you know what's happening fully.
Yeah.
And so I can't say for sure. Like, I feel like I have a little more faith that they're going to get somewhere than somebody who doesn't know much about it. But it's very much, it's like 90% like old style sitcom. Just with people who have superpowers, and then like 10% like, whoa, that was weird.
Yeah. I'm interested to check it out to see if I'd be completely lost.
I don't think you'd be too lost, because I don't think anybody really knows what's happening right now. So
okay. Be lost is everybody.
I feel like you can probably jump in and be okay.
Yeah.
I'm also watching Search Party season 4.
Yes.
Search Party is a good show. Got some you know, Attack on Titan, the final season.
Attack on Titan?
Oh, Rob. It's fantastic.
What's Attack on Titan?
It's an anime show.
Yeah.
The premise is that the last remnants of humanity is living in this walled city, and the rest of the world's been overrun by these gigantic Titan monsters that just eat people.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's very good. It's actually way more interesting than the premise even, you know, makes it seem.
Yeah. Wow. And is this, where does this air? Is this a Japanese show?
Yes. So there is a dub for it. You can find it on, I think it's on Hulu. You know, like Funimation and Crunchyroll and all those places.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
And if you like this show, as I said, Would I Lie to You actually just started a new season as well. And that's a really, really great, very funny show.
Okay. All right. Taryn, what else is going on non-TV in your life?
Doing lots of streaming.
Yeah. What are you streaming about these days?
Well, last night, I streamed with Kevin Martin and Bruno from Big Brother Canada. We've been doing a Big Brother Canada 5 rewatch on Twitch with them as Kevin watches his winning season for the first time.
Is it just me, or I feel like this has been going on for a long time?
Well, we took a huge break when All Stars started, and so now we're back at it. We are, I believe, 2 episodes away from the triple eviction. So,
oh my god,
that should be interesting.
When did you guys start this? I feel like you started it like in May.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. We got up to like a couple of episodes. Like we got like, I don't know, 16 episodes in.
Yeah.
And then big hiatus.
Yeah.
But that was fun. We played some games afterward. Today I'll probably, play some Jedi Fallen Order. Tomorrow, or Sunday we'll have some, we play Among Us
a lot.
What's
the plot of Jedi Fallen Order? I saw you were playing that the other day.
I don't know. Is this guy who I haven't gotten far enough to really know?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun game, though. But Among Us on Sunday, Among Us is very like The Hustler, where there are like some killers and they have to run around and murder, and you got to figure them out and vote them out. And I, we play that with Puya and Liana and a bunch of mm-hmm. the folks. Rob's been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch party for Sequester. I do watch party for the challenge as well. Mm-hmm. So lots of stuff, lots of fun stuff on Twitch.
Are you enjoying the challenge?
It's been all right. I liked it at the start, and I feel like it's been okay since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a couple episodes behind.
It's a lot of Fessy being Fessy.
Well, that's what I thought was so interesting of like that Fessy started the season. People were talking about him like, boy, Fessy is the ultimate competitor. Like they're talking about Fessy about like he's like what a great player. And I'm used to like people talking about Big Brother, and just like in our world we come out of where everybody is talking about how
Fessy is a moron.
But then like, you know, things came back around.
Yeah. I mean that's very typical, right? Like this is the most Fessy environment you can have. It's mm-hmm. it's like if there's ever a place or a situation that's going to make Fessy look good, it's Fessy on the challenge where he can dominate all these challenges. But eventually, like, your true nature is going to...
True Fessy will come out. Okay. All right. Well, Taryn, this was great. If you could think of other stuff to get together, like this is so much fun getting to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if the listeners want us to do more stuff, you can give us suggestions as well.
Don't tease them. They want you to do more stuff.
Well, yeah, well, tell me what to do. Give me ideas.
Okay, well, we're going to play The Hustler.
We're going to do The Hustler. We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
When's The Circle going to come back, Rob?
You know what? It's like we haven't heard anything, and then just like one day we'll go on Twitter and it'll be like a teaser trailer, like it's dropping tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like if anything, I would say that it'll be the same day Big Brother Canada starts.
That would be annoying.
Yeah. It'll be the same exact time. So, all right. Be on the lookout for that. Got a lot of other great stuff going on robhasawebsite.com, including we talked about the 38th best Survivor season of all time. Taryn, I have watched the three worst Survivor seasons all in a row.
Yeah. When I heard that you were doing this and actually watching each season each week, I thought you're a crazy person.
I am a crazy person. However, like my default speed of watching TV has been, so I watch basically almost everything on a computer. Like my default speed of watching things now is like 1.4 on watching video. And so that did help with watching four episodes of The Hustler since last night.
I can imagine. I think I would enjoy The Hustler more if I sped it up.
Yeah.
I think maybe I should do that.
Yeah. I mean, I use the video speed extension on Google Chrome, and I'm just...
Blowing
through
the documentary.
I'm watching some of these Survivor challenges on like 2.4 speed.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm cutting some corners.
I mean, you're gonna start having fun though in a few months. Right?
I'm having fun now.
You're gonna have a lot more fun then. Yeah.
I'll be honest. Thailand was rough to get through.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like early season plus not a good season.
It is very slow. There's very little that you're invested in Thailand. So watching four episodes of The Hustler was like, oh my God, I was loving it.
Fantastic. Oh boy, okay. Wow.
All right. Be sure to follow Taryn. Check out everything we have going on robhasawebsite.com, including we got the return of the Hot Takeoff coming back to Renap. Taryn, do you have a hot take?
I guess my hot take is that Craig Ferguson is awesome and shouldn't be criticized.
No, that's not a hot. That's not the hot take. Is Craigie Ferg is not awesome?
I know. That's what I was saying. Like, who's got these takes, man?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who thought his show was the worst late night show? Really?
Yeah.
He had the best interviews, at the very least.
Mm-hmm. He just didn't want to do it anymore, right?
Yeah, he was just over it.
He was over it. A lot. It's a long schedule for Craig Ferguson. All right. Thank you so much for checking us out. Hopefully, we'll play the Hustler for real someday. Thanks for checking us out. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.